listening to the Pocket Party Podcast with Darren Carter. It's a podcast that you put in your pocket. Here's Darren.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. Yeah. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, listen to a Pocket Party. Pocket Party. Durant.
This is Morgan Freeman, and you are listening to one of the most important podcasts ever made in the history of podcasting, the Pocket Party Podcast with my good friend, Darren Carter.
Pocket Party. Yeah. When I'm down and feeling low with so much negativity, I listen to Darren Carter's Pocket Party. He got his friends as guests and they be really funny. It ain't over till he say, boy, don't hurt nobody. Yeah. They run.
Oh, yeah. We are back. Hey, everybody. It's you ever have one of those days where you just can't spell? Probably not. Most people are not like me. I don't think so. You guys probably know how to spell, but my point is this. big shout out to Miguel Romero for sending in his version of the theme song for the Pocket Party Podcast. That's right, guys. If you want to do a cover of the original or you want to do your own original theme song, send it in. PocketPartyPodcast@gmail.com. Anyways, I'm just now drinking my coffee, kind of waking up here, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to play that version, but I haven't been on my computer and looking for it for like a week, although it is on my Instagram, and I'm like, where is it? You just can't find it. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, what did I name the file? Did I name it Pocket Party Theme Song? Did I name it Reggae? Did I name it Miguel Romero? What did I name it? And then I remembered what I named it. Okay, I named it Reggae Version, but then I couldn't remember how to spell Reggae, because it's... there's like a couple G's in there. There's like, is it Raggae? Like R-A-G-G-A-E? Is it R-E-G-G-A-E? Anyways, it's R-E-G-G-A-E. But you know, I had to find my phone. I had to find another device to go, how do you spell Reggae? And then, yeah, so. Which can get me in trouble sometimes with spelling. I was up in Reno, had a great weekend. If you saw me at the Comedy Underground, it was fantastic. What a place, right? No, it's called, yeah, the Pioneer Underground. And what that means, it's a theater in downtown Reno, and you literally go underground. And because you're underground, there's really spotty cell service. So I wanted to post this meme, this picture. If you've gone to my Instagram, official Darren Carter, you'll see it. There's a picture with my son with like a Homer Simpson character. It's not Homer, it's a different one, but it looks like Homer Simpson. And he's hiding in the bushes. You know that thing where Homer disappears in the bush? You've seen that gif out and about. So my wife, she took a picture with my son Austin, and she said, it looks like Daddy's hiding in the bush, because I kind of look like that. And sure enough, man, you see a picture of my son and that Homer Simpson guy, or whoever it is, that Simpson character. So I was like, I put a little meme where I put like, when your son thinks he's taking a picture with his dad or something like that, or he thinks his dad is in camouflage. But once again, I didn't know how to spell camouflage. Who spells camouflage? It's C-A-M-O, right? Camo. Which you see a lot of camo and when you go to like the Midwest. I remember I would do a joke when I'd be like, man, I was at the mall and everyone's wearing camo. They're like, camo, YOLO, what's up, bro? Let's get some fro-yo, no homo. Something like that, but yeah, so I had to look up how to spell camouflage, and I misspelled it. I spelled it camo and then F-L-A-G-E, who cares? Camo and then flaged, right? But no, there's like an O-U in there somewhere, camo, it's like, geez, but I couldn't get the cell service to know how to spell camouflage, so I put it up. I actually went to where I could get cell service, camouflaged, memorized it, I thought. Went back, posted it backstage in the green room, and I misspelled it. So what are you going to do? I'm not perfect, people. I'm not a good speller. In fact, I took last place in our high school spelling C. Is this thing recording? Yeah, this is gold. This is gold. Oh, my gosh. Okay, if you guys are in, I'm going to dates out the gate. Just going to do a couple of dates. November, here we go. If you guys are, this Friday, November 16th, I will be at the Haha Cafe, November 16th. Haha Cafe with my previous guest from episode 30, Stevie D from the Trans Am Diaries. We will be there. And November 23rd, 24th, I'll be at De Chico's Italian Restaurant in Clovis. If you know anybody in the Fresno, Clovis area, the San Joaquin Valley, the Friday after Thanksgiving, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I will be at De Chico's. All dates are on my website, DarrenCarter.com. Check that out. Sacramento, Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova, December 14th, 15th, 16th. And that's right near Folsom. Maybe I'll take a tour of Folsom. I went to Folsom before. I went with my cousin. And, you can tour Folsom Prison. It's pretty wild. Not the actual prison, but they have like a gift shop and a little area. My friend, he was like, dude, I can't believe we're doing this. I go, you know what? Let's just check it out. We're here, all right? Johnny Cash sang about it. It can't be that bad. Of course, you get there, and it looks like a castle. And we went there on a Sunday, and they had a big sign that said, like, something because of the WP riot or something, like white power, whatever the hell it was, the family members will not be able to visit them. And we're like, oh, this shit's real. This is not a movie set. Okay. So we went to the gift shop, and you really, it's really a tour you just need to take once. You're like, okay, I get it. And they have just on display, like, things that prisoners have made, different weapons. You know, we took toothpicks, and he had lots of time in prison, so he made, like, a replica of the World Fair or whatever, like, you know, giant Ferris wheels and whatnot. And an interesting side note, all the tourists were white. I will say that. You know, there was about 25 of us, and they're just kind of looking at stuff, and I'm like, we're all white. It's all, you know, which is kind of weird, kind of a sad statement, you know. Not a lot of brothers are like, what you doing Sunday? Let's go check out the gift shop. We're like, nah, we're good, buddy. We're good. We're good. You, y'all just go ahead and do your thing in the gift shop. So, yeah. What else can I tell you? Yeah, so dates out the gate. Came from Reno. Had a wonderful time. You'll see some videos I made with Tarun Shetty. Tarun Shetty. If you go to Facebook, check out Tarun Shetty. He does a travel show on Facebook. Pretty cool. He goes to different towns and does like a little 3 to 4 minute travel show. It's pretty funny and interesting. Just the stuff this guy finds. And so we explored Reno and found some stuff. Anyways, an exciting episode today. I was thinking about street smarts and how, you know, just things I've learned over the years. And I thought, let's share it. Not that I'm a big street smart guy, you know, but I remember when I was 17, we went on a field trip for the speech and debate team, forensics. Shout out to all my forensics friends. And I remember when we were in the hotel, I'd never taken a shower with a curtain before. Usually we had a shower door growing up. And I'm like, I didn't want to get the curtain wet. So what did I do? I took the shower curtain, I placed it on the outside of the tub. And then when I was done with my shower, the bathroom floor was completely wet. It was like a lake in there. And they're like, dude, what did you do? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't want the... And they're like, no, you're supposed to tuck the shower curtain inside the tub. Oh, now you tell me. But that was just one of those... I don't know if that's necessarily street smarts or just common sense. But it wasn't common because I never had that before. So what are you going to know? So throughout this episode, we named different little, you know, life hacks and tips and tricks and, you know, street smart type things that I would like to pass along. So I thought it was like an interesting conversation. And I want to thank you guys for once again subscribing, liking, and reviewing the podcast. Got some new reviews, some new ratings. It's real easy. Like I said before, if you know, especially if you have, basically, if you can, do it on iTunes because that gets us higher up on those charts. If you have an iPhone or you have someone or you know someone with an Apple phone, just type in Darren Carter Pocket Party, scroll all the way down, boom, hit 5 stars. That's super easy to get that rating. And then write a little review. And it really helps, you know, and I'll read them on the air. And if you have any kind of social media you want me to spread and put out there, I will gladly read it on the air. If you have a business, I'll give you a shout out. Let's get to it right now. Okay, the newest review coming in, The True Party Starter. And this says, this podcast gets me through the day. He is funny and inspirational. My Instagram is @resident_rav3. Shout out to resident_rav3. Next review. Love this podcast. I drive trucks and this is a great listen to on my trips. Oh, that's cool. Wow, I'm out there in those trucks. You know, my uncle was a truck driver and I wanted to go for a ride with him. And he said they can't do it anymore because of the law. There's the whole don't pick up hitchhikers, but I guess it's like an insurance thing. They don't want people in the cabs of the trucks. Because I remember when I was a kid back in the 70s, I was able to do that. You know, my dad had some friends that were truck drivers and we were driving and I got to be up there. And if you've ever been in the truck, it's pretty cool. Like you're sitting up really high and you're looking down on other vehicles and it's like, it's pretty badass, especially back in the 70s. That's back when, like, you know, Smokey and the Bandit was on and BJ and the Bear and all these truck drivers. We're going to have a convoy. Do-do-do-do-do-do. I mean, truckers were heroes back then. Not that they're not heroes now, but you know what I mean. It was like something you aspired. You're like, wow, I want to be a trucker and just do the wide open highway and just get out there and, you know, leave my problems in the dust and develop a meth problem so I can stay up and drive 48 hours straight. That's what I want to do. I'm kidding. They have laws. They have so many laws. Like, I think they can't drive longer than like 10 hours or something. I don't know. Back in the day, that was the thing, though. Girls would actually flash truckers and get the trucker excited for another hour to get him to the next town. I remember I had a girl I dated back in the day, and she's like, I can't even eat bananas near truckers because they want to look down and watch me eat bananas while I'm on the 99 or the 5 or whatever it was, you know, back and forth from LA to San Francisco. And then one time I asked another girl, and I go, hey, I thought about that story, and I go, hey, do you ever, we got on the subject of truckers and driving, and I go, hey, do you ever try to turn on truck drivers? And she's like, you don't have to try to turn on truck drivers, all right? It's just, they just see something female, and they're like, exciting, you know, or whatever. But why am I talking about this? All right. Another review is from Reno Tahoe. Oh, this must have been a new one. Okay, yeah. His transitions between jokes was incredible. His comedy inspired me to work on my comedy. Oh, it's a comedian. His podcast is one of the best. Reno Tahoe from Babyface 111111. Interesting. Now this is a top-notch podcast review, and I'm gonna read. Of course, I'm going to read just two more reviews, and then we'll jump into it. I love this one. Highly recommended. It's Joe Rogan Meets This American Life with a Dash of Tim Ferriss by KDNY. Every episode leaves me super entertained and learning something totally unexpected, not just about the guests, but about life. And it's funny. I love how he gets good interviews out of his guests. You can really tell Darren loves what he's doing. He is good at it. My favorite new podcast. Highly recommended. Man, that was nice. Okay, enough of the reviews. You get the idea. Like I said, like I'll give you a shout out like I did for resident_rav3 on Instagram. And if you besides the reviews and ratings on iTunes, just tell some friends because word of mouth is really the best, right? Word of mouth. Share the links if you can on Twitter, Facebook, share the links. Hey, check out this podcast. I tweet the link and I put it as my pinned tweet. So if you ever go to @DarrenCarter on Twitter, you'll see it. Just hit share and it'll retweet to all your people. Share it on your Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, right? And let's keep this growing. And I want to thank you guys for taking the time to download it, to listen. And hopefully we're making your day just a little bit better, your night a little bit better. And we'll see you soon. Let's jump into the interview right here, right now.
Pocket Party.
And we're back. Okay, what I wanted to talk about right now with this segment, I have Dr. Dean on here. Dr. Dean from Queens, New York. Say hi to the good people, Dr. Dean.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Darren.
You're very welcome. The listeners love you, man. And I want to ask you this. I was thinking about this today. Street smarts. And I think what made me think of that is I saw somebody last night. I did a gig last night in Reno. And I saw this dude with a pile of money, and he was counting the money all with his head down, drunk, like at, you know, 1 a.m. I didn't see the denominations, but it was a lot of money. And I thought, this is not too smart. This guy is doing this. And I was just thinking about street smarts, and
And I thought some people don't have it. And I didn't realize, not saying that I'm, you know, that I have a lot of street smarts, but I think, you know, after a while, you're on this planet long enough, you live in a big city, you start getting little tips. And, you know, it's funny. I Googled like street smarts. And one of the things that they recommend, this is hilarious, it said, this is kind of a crazy way to live, but they said, live your life when you're outside, I guess, like you're being hunted, meaning don't just have your head in your phone, you know, you're just, you know,
that's
like,
correct.
Like, don't, yeah. You know, so like, for example, like if you're walking down the street and there's like a little, I guess like a little crook, a little crooked nanny, like an enclave or something where, you know, if you were being hunted, like maybe a wolf could come in there and be like, rawr, and get you. So maybe like a person who is ready to attack and rob you and mug you real quick. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean? Like just things like that. Like, so street smarts would be like, just be aware and be, and but that's kind of weird, right? Live your life. You're like, you're being hunted.
I always love when I see people that have their wallet in their back pocket. I always know that they're not from New York City because in New York, you wear your wallet, you keep your wallet in your front pocket because somebody's going to try and clip it on the subway, pickpocket you. Excuse me.
I think it's because there's more, it's a small space, you know, millions of people there, and there's lots of, the personal space is gone.
Yeah.
So it's, people can easily bump your shoulder, and as you're focusing on your shoulder, they're
they hit you in the, yeah, exactly.
Some people safety pin their wallet to their clothes. I read, like, when
you, yeah, that's not a terrible idea.
When you're on, you know, like vacation or something.
But I was always, I did a lot of walking at night in Queens, and I grew up in a neighborhood where you had to be a little sharp, you know. I definitely was. I'll tell you what I got really good at, and I always think like, you know, like almost like a Navy SEAL kind of guy. I got really good at using plate glass windows of stores.
Oh, very good.
As a reflection that the to see what's behind me.
Yep.
I'm very good at using objects around me to see if I'm being followed or to see somebody's behind.
They say if you are being followed, if you suspect that you're being followed in your car, make three right turns.
Oh, really?
If you're making three right turns and the car behind you making three right turns, there's no reason.
You end up following the car behind.
Yeah. They're like,
gotcha.
Because there's no reason that they should be making three right turns.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like even when I'm driving home late at night, if someone's following me, I sometimes won't pull right into my driveway.
Of course not.
I'll just keep driving.
No. You never let them see where you live.
Yeah.
I got mugged once underneath. I think we might have spoken about this.
It's okay. Here's the thing I found. Not everybody listens to every minute of
that's
every,
true.
Of
that's
every
true.
Podcast.
That's true.
Yeah. And then we have new listeners. Yeah.
That's true. I got mugged once. Bad move on his part. I was going.
I would love to say that. I got mugged once. Bad move on his part.
Yeah, bad move on his part. He probably still has a pain in his rib cage.
I love what you said. He said the guy put you in a headlock.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. Yeah. It was a Saturday night. For those of you who might know Manhattan, I was walking on 57th Street, in which case I will turn onto First Avenue, and I'll go head uptown. And I have to cross underneath the Queensboro Bridge to continue on my way.
Anytime I'm walking under a bridge, like at night,
it was stupid.
But how are you going to get there, though? You got to walk
under
the
bridge. I had no choice.
Bridge.
I had to go on First Avenue, the way the bridge was built, the arch of the bridge, which everybody on the planet walks under. You don't even think about it. So it's about 11:30, a quarter to 12 at night. I got $200 in my pocket. I just finished waiting tables. 1988.
In that front pocket, I would imagine.
In the front pocket. And I'm walking, and I'm going to go to Chippendales to see my friends who are strippers there. And we're going to see, you know, there's women that the show is ending, and now the girls are hanging out, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I was getting ready to do.
Okay. I was wondering there for a second. You're like, I'm going to check out some dancers.
And yeah, I can't wait to see the guys.
Give them my tip. Right,
I have all my singles.
Applebee's.
I have all my singles. I'm getting ready to tip all the guys. And
But that's smart, though, right? Like, by the way, because the girls are all horned up and ready.
They're
just got
all
some
horned
dancers,
up.
And you just happen to be there. Yeah. Hey, I'm one of the guys.
Right.
I'm no creep. I'm a buddy of the dancers.
And listen, this story is funny, actually.
Wait, real quick. That's another street smart story.
Yeah.
Become friends with people who women crave.
Who are involved in perverted acts. So might get laid out of the deal. So what happened
was... It might
was
be the third string or whatever.
The next thing you know, I'm walking onto this bridge, and it's only... Really, all I got to do is get through about a 220-foot darkness, you know, thing, and then I'm good. I'm good. And all of a sudden...
You think if you had to do that again... Should the person maybe run that little section?
No. Everybody at night walks in that area. This was a fluke. This was a drunk guy high on something, drunk.
Because if I had to walk in that little dark part, I think I'd probably go at a slight trot.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, who's going to want to run after you and mug you?
I never in a million years expected it. Next thing you know, I have a left arm around my throat. Okay, out of nowhere.
Just like in the movies.
What you see in
these
the movies.
These YouTube world stars.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, I just assess the situation. I'm shocked. I can't believe it. And let me tell you something. All you guys out there who train in the gym and fight and train, you know, sparring partners and everything like that. And that's great. All that stuff is amazing. I'm getting into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now. That's something that I'll talk to you about later on. I'm getting into all that stuff. When the shit goes down and you're not, it's happening. Somebody has their arm around your throat and this wasn't like, okay, so we're going to do 3 minutes sparring, you know.
Now you put your hand here.
Right. You put your hand here.
And then I take my thumb.
Right. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do here. Okay. It's real, man. It's real. This is, excuse my language. It's real. This shit is happening right now. Somebody is potentially going to attempt to take my life. Okay. I didn't feel that. Okay. But
no, you're just,
I don't know what the next move is.
You're in your own world and you're feeling you're feeling a left arm around your neck.
Like, exactly. Exactly.
Were you thinking, hey, it's a friend pulling a prank on me. Did that cross your mind?
No. Definitely not. Because I was walking towards this place, and I would have seen somebody.
Yeah, it's a dark bridge.
No. It was wrong of me to do. I should have been in the street.
So what happened? So what were you going
to
say?
I just said to myself, left arm is around my neck. I knew it. I said his entire left side of his rib cage has to be exposed, and this happened in 0.3 seconds. All that shit went in my head. Now, maybe that's from some of the training that you get from, and I have studied a little bit here and there as a child, as a young kid, 15, 16. I had some really kick-ass three Asian brothers that were my next-door neighbors that were heavy martial arts guys. So I was doing nunchucks and all this craziness with these guys, and they taught me a lot of stuff. But still, you all of a sudden, I said to myself in 0.3 seconds, because I don't know when the knife is going to slit my throat this moment.
You're right.
So in the 0.3 seconds, I said left arm, left rib cage is exposed. And that was it. I wound up and my arm was probably, I would say my elbow was at the same parallel to the at the height of my shoulder. That's how much my elbow came up.
He's basically making like an uppercut motion. So you made like an uppercut motion.
Right.
And then
I came down into this guy's ribs that if he doesn't have a scar tissue in there now, I would be very surprised. And this is 30 years later.
Yeah.
Okay. And he made a noise that everybody on the planet makes when you have your ribs. What's the matter?
Do it against that couch.
Well, I raised it parallel. Yeah. I went full force. And you know, if anybody out there, the elbow is probably the most dangerous thing you have on your body, they say. Okay. Obviously, if you're a world-class kicker, the strength. But the torque and the pounds per square inch that are achieved from an elbow, you can kill somebody very, very easily. You can do a lot of damage with an elbow, man. Mm. So he breaks the hold. Oh, as soon as I hit him, all you heard was like that. And he broke the hold. I did a nice job on this guy. And I ran. I took the advice of every one of my martial arts friends over the years.
Do your thing, get the heck out of there. Don't admire your work. Talk shit.
I have met 6'5", 300-pound black belts that have said to me, and when I've asked them questions about certain things in fights, they always say, dot, 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 and then I ran.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, I don't care how big they are, they all say the same thing. I get to safety because I don't know if this guy has a gun.
Right.
I don't know if 6 of his friends are around the corner to come and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a I remember having a conversation with a 6'5", 300-pound black belt who said, you did the right thing, Dean. You did your damage, and you got the hell out of there. You know, don't be a real, you know, because some of these UFC fighters, they're going to finish the job off and beat the heck out of, you know, out of this guy. But it, most human beings in their right mind are going to look to get out of there. Okay, they did what they had to do, and they got out of there. You just don't know. You don't know where his friends are. So this is the best part. They, and this is all true what I'm going to tell you, I run to Chippendales, which is 300 feet. I run, and my heart is beating like a motherfucker right now. At 140 beats, my adrenaline is completely pumped right now. I have no idea what just happened, okay? And the cops, the New York City cops, used to hang out when the Chippendale show ended. They knew the time, and they would hang out so they could meet girls. Okay, the guys, the rookies that were just on the job or whatever, and they would hang out there to try and meet them. Go ahead, do you have something?
I'm just gonna film you real quick, telling the story. Just for the Instagram.
Yeah.
Guys, follow us on follow me on Instagram, official Darren Carter, and they can see Dr. Dean.
Okay,
Dr. Dean, 125 on Instagram.
Yeah, Dr. Dean. Yeah. So what happened was, I run to the cops and I say to the cops, I'm out of breath, and I'm like, guys, there's two guys. One is in the car, and the other one's in a Toyota Corolla. They're in a Toyota Corolla. I just got mugged. I hurt the guy nicely with an elbow to the ribs, blah, blah, blah. And I know who your lieutenant is, sergeant or lieutenant. I forgot which one is higher. And I mentioned the guy's name. I'm not going to mention it now, but I mentioned the guy's name. I said, I know who your lieutenant is. I used to work with him as a kid. And you got to do me a favor. So sure enough. Oh, you're playing it now?
Sorry.
Okay.
Damn it.
That's okay.
Keep telling the story. Hold on, let me turn the volume down. So then what did you tell? You said, I know the
so
sergeant.
So I said, I know your sergeant. I used to make bagels with him in Queens. And I said the name. And as soon as I said the name, these guys all perked up. They knew I wasn't bullshitting. And they stopped the guy. They stopped the cop. They stopped the car. These guys jumped out of a car to do what he did to me. And so sure enough, they stopped the car. The guy gets out of the car. Both guys are taken out of the car. And I said to the guy that had his arm around me, he was in the passenger seat, I said, and they took him out, and I said, how's your ribs? Just like that. I went, how's your ribs, man? And I said something to him like, sometimes you mess with the wrong guy. I said, it might want to teach you a lesson to, you know, not do what you just did. And what are you talking about? I said, you know, that kind of stuff. They were like, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, cut the shit, blah, blah, blah. So one thing led to another. Cops finally said to me, hey, look, you know, it's your word against his. Do you really want to press charges? I go, nah. He goes, you got too much paperwork to do, all this stuff. It's going to take time. I got to bring this guy down to the friggin' precinct. He goes, nothing's going to happen. He goes, it's your word versus his, blah, blah, blah. So I said, is this true? I said to the guys, can you do me one favor? Can you park the car around the corner where it's really desolate and really deserted? And can I get in the back seat with this guy for 45 seconds? And the guy just started laughing at me, man. He goes, are you out of your fucking mind? He goes, we can't do that. He goes, no way. He goes, especially your friends with so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm not going to mention names. He goes, especially who you know, which was their lieutenant.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, and this was 1988. And he said, he started laughing at me. He goes, absolutely not. And I said, I just want 45 seconds with the guy, man. And whatever, it happened. And but I've always been streetwise, and I've always looked over my shoulder. And
I would say a street smart thing. I love that story, by the way. Thanks for sharing that with us. But I would say, like, things, little things, like, you know, they say if you park your car in a parking lot, don't park on the edge of the parking lot because it's easy for people to smash grab there. Try to park in the center under a light.
Yeah.
That's another like street smart type thing that somebody might not think of. Also, they say, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, don't keep your valuables like right there on the front.
Oh,
you know,
definitely not.
Seat or the, because I've walked past cars occasionally and seen
a
purse or a backpack like right there with not. Another thing is try to maybe get tinted windows. That way, it's a little harder to see inside the.
But you're talking about possessions now. I'm talking about the health of your own body and I always tell women when they go to the car. I said, first thing I always tell women is you got to have pepper spray. You got to have pepper spray.
That's what
spray.
They say, yeah.
Okay.
Even for wild dogs or a dog that gets
out. Absolutely.
You know, it's going to attack you.
You got to have.
Even guys should have pepper spray, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah. Man.
Do you have pepper spray?
I don't have pepper spray.
I have a flashlight.
I have onion spray. No, I have hairspray. No, I'm going to keep doing a bit here. I'm going to
do it. Deodorant spray.
I have deodorant spray.
Do they still
spray.
Sell deodorant spray?
Oh, because of the aerosol? I would assume people are still buying that crap. But I always tell people, take your keys and make them a weapon.
Will you stick that thing in between your fingers?
Your keys are such a weapon, you don't even realize it. Yeah. Man. You hit somebody with this with a fist.
But then again, you know what? I used to wear rings for a while.
Oh, rings, Brad.
Have you ever put rings? Do you ever wear rings?
No, I don't have, but I used to,
Have you ever wore, normal rings? I'm talking like regular, like a wedding ring.
High school? No.
Because when you put a ring on, here's the first thing you notice. If someone shakes your hand, it hurts because it's like, it'd be like if someone were to put a pencil in between your fingers and squeeze down on it.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe having the keys.
But I always tell people,
but with those keys, I was going to tell you, I put keys in between and I thought, no one ever really practices like imagine putting keys and then going down to the boxing gym and like punching the heavy bag with the keys in just to see what it's like.
You would probably
might hurt your own hand though.
But let me tell you, that's a good weapon.
It is a good weapon.
Keys are a good weapon. I
think this flashlight's a good weapon because you could put it in between, almost like a roll of quarters.
Yeah.
People put those roll of quarters and they punch you.
Yeah. You always make fun, not in a good way, about me walking the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning with 2 10-pound weights when I do my workout. And I always think to myself, who's going to want to mess with somebody who's walking with weights in their hand? In other words, if I hit somebody.
Maybe they'll think you're fatigued.
Right. But if you hit somebody with a fist and you're carrying 2 10-pound weights, that guy's going down.
That's
man,
true.
If you make contact. But whatever, it's a sick world and it's sad.
Street smart stuff. Hotel living. When you're in a hotel, they say leave the TV on if you can.
Yeah.
Like if it's a sketchy hotel, Leave the TV on or something so there's noise. Maybe say goodbye to somebody. Like my buddies and I, whenever we would be on the road, I'd always make a joke with them. I'd be like, watch this. As we're leaving, we're like, all right, now we act like someone's in the room. You guys take care in there. All right, keep practicing your karate.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't forget the nunchucks.
Yeah.
But it's...
We're very unpredictable when we're returning. You're like saying it like outside. Because that is weird. Because sometimes I've stayed at a gig where... They put me at not a motor lodge, but those kind of hotels where it's just, you're just there for one night and it's a smaller town and they don't have a Hilton Garden Inn or they don't have a Four Seasons. They just have
Three Seasons?
Yeah, like a Three Seasons. They just have a one season. They got one season, winter. Because I stayed in the hotel recently and it was sort of a sketchy area, it was up near Stockton, California. And there was people on their balconies smoking cigarettes and other stuff that smelled kind of funny and people drinking their beers and they're just like, gosh, this is weird. Like you're literally walking up the stairs and seeing these are the people in your neighborhood. And I'm like, but yeah, so.
There's a lot of things, that you can do to be street smart. I always leave the lights on in your house.
In a restaurant, oftentimes... don't turn your back to the front door. That way you could see who's coming in the front door. And you said, plan an exit. Find out where the exits are.
I always do that. I always look for the exits. You don't know. In this day and age, I always look for the exits now everywhere because you go to a movie theater, you don't know who's coming in with a gun. See, we're in a different time now. We're in a thing right now where you just don't know when someone's coming in with an assault rifle and you just don't know. It could be in a comedy club. It could be in a church. It was in a synagogue last week. Guy killed 11 people. I mean, think about that. One of the women was 97 years old, lived her whole life, and how does her life end? She gets gunned down in a synagogue, a place where you're there to worship and you're there to pray and you're there to and that's how you go out. You got gunned down at 97
in America, United States.
Yeah. So we're at a time right now, and I'm not trying to get political now, but it's getting a little ridiculous that the NRA and all this stuff is, that none of this is being, no, this will keep going on. Yeah. No, nobody is ever going to stop this. Nothing is going to stop this unless.
I think it's, they say like, you know, like the peas in the water. What do they say? The peas in the pool already? Like it's, you know, it's, the guns are out there. And even if you take away the, well, I don't want to get into gun talk because, but I think it's
also, a whole different political
thing. It's a mental thing too. Don't you think it's like a mental, like it's just, who knows why? We're all wondering why, but. Back to street smarts. It's like, you know, let's not.
I always
tell people, listen, I don't always tell people, but I've told myself this, and I'm telling you guys this on the podcast. Yes, I have walked down the street looking at my phone. I'm guilty of that. I think we all have. But you will never see me in a crosswalk looking at my phone. And if you do.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
If you do, if you ever see me in the street and walking across
run
the street.
Run me over.
No. Yeah. No, if you ever see me, I'm telling you, I swear to God, if you do this, if you ever catch me, take a photo of me and I will pay you $100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. I'm never going to be.
That's how you get killed.
Checking my email as I'm in a crosswalk. Yeah. No. I mean, I'll do it on a sidewalk.
Absolutely.
Or under a tree or somewhere safe where I'm not going to get by a car. But like, I don't ever want to do that. You know, I'll never do that.
No, that's a recipe for getting killed.
It really is.
All you need
might
is
not
some
think
moron
about
to blow the light.
I know.
That's it, and it's over.
I know,
man.
And you got the headphones and you're looking down. You're like, you know.
But no, I try and I look.
One time I caught myself, and it wasn't like, I wasn't doing anything deep like that. Like I wasn't like reading or anything. But I was walking in the middle of the street. The light was green. Right. I said walk, and it was safe, and nothing happened.
And
but
you have no memory of actually crossing that whole street.
No,
you
there got, was it was a moment where I was, as I was walking, I think like an ad came on or something, like Spotify or whatever I was listening to. And I looked down to like hit skip and I thought, oh, I just broke my own rule. I said I'd never look at a
right.
So you got to be careful about that.
Yeah, you got. I grew up in a very streetwise household. My father was a real streetwise guy. My father was very around the Murder Incorporated group of guys. He was a young guy. But he knew a lot of the guys that were in the Murder Incorporated gang, whatever you want to call it. Back then, it was more of a corporation almost. It was with Bugsy Siegel and Meyer Lansky, and he was a young kid. And so I grew up with a father that had seen a lot of stuff, and he instilled a lot of the street smarts into us.
What's some other stuff you can remember off the top of your head?
From my father? It's not even that. It's me spending so much time out in the street that coming home 11, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning and having to have walked, from a bus stop somewhere back to my mother and father's house.
Like a lot of times I figure like if someone's talking to you, maybe there's a reason. Like what do they want? What's the reason they're talking to you?
Right,
you know what would happen? Like the Ted Bundy, like he would pretend to be injured, like
he had a broken
arm or something. Right. So sometimes people will come
up to you
and they'll ask you a question. Yeah. And sometimes you can't be paranoid of every stranger danger. But at the same time, you got to ask yourself, what is this person's intention?
What is
the
hidden agenda here?
Yeah. But yeah, and that's what he would do. He would pretend to be like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he would sometimes ask you to help him lift something into the trunk of his van. And that was another thing. Then he pushed you in. The female. It was always females. It was always females.
He was like, oh, my arm hurt.
Can you do me a favor and just lift that end? Blah, blah. And then he would say, ooh, you know, wow, this fits pretty well. Yeah, good. You know, and then he would
try to get them into the van. Like, yeah. Oh, you get that in, I'll get this in. Yeah, and then once they're in the van, then he's like.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, he had you.
If you're in the trunk of a car, they say to break out the taillight. That way. You know, if
possible cop.
Yeah, cop will see that someone's driving down the road with no taillight.
That's a good thing to know. Yeah. That's a good idea. But yeah, it's it's unfortunate. You know what I always think? I always think it's sad that you have to take martial art classes. It's sad that you have to have pepper spray. It's sad. Like, why can't we just? And I often wonder. If everybody that comes out of their mother's womb was given a $1 million check, if you'd have this much crime and insanity. In other words, you start to realize that the root of a lot of this stuff is that, okay, in the case of the person that's a loser, you know, has become a loser, a nowhere man, a Mark David Chapman who did that to John Lennon. People who get lost psychologically. You ask yourself, I wonder if that person had money and was, flourishing and all
I
that.
I think they would because I think there's different reasons from all. I haven't studied it.
Right. Well, obviously.
But don't you think there's like people that have had money that have done crazy things too?
Yeah. Absolutely. You
know?
Absolutely.
But I know what you're saying though. It's like.
Right. But don't forget that the root of a lot of evil is money. You're right. There's people that are biochemically sick.
And there's people that will I've read in the, this person was in, killed over like nothing, like $16 mm-hmm. or $4. Yeah. You're like, really? Like that,
Yeah, but I don't think that person knew there was $16 at stake. I think that person that was robbing that store and killed the cashier, I'm just giving you a hypothetical. Yeah. Thought there was $300-$400 in that box or whatever, $1,000, whatever. And then you hear, oh man, it was $16 in that thing. That's what this cashier got killed over. Now, I'm just giving, I pray to God that there's no cashier that's about. But the sad part is that we actually have to have a discussion like this, and that you actually have to have self-defense tools. And that to me is just the sad part about this life is that there's always somebody that wants to screw your day up in some way, shape, or form, or ruin your life, or disfigure you.
And I was watching this martial arts video.
You see the one that's floating around all over about the guy in Vegas who beat the shit out of these two guys with the leg sweeps, and Joe Rogan.
I saw that one.
That's great, man.
Yeah, where he's like narrating it. He was narrating on the playback from
right.
World.
He was. Oh my god! And
they go, look at this guy. This guy's even know how to fight. And so then the next guy tries to fight him, and he's like,
and then he's on the ground. He's on the ground unconscious in 10 seconds.
Yeah,
in 10 seconds. This guy just beat the
shit
out.
You could tell the guy that was doing it, the guy that was defending himself, you could tell the way he was stepping forward.
Oh, he was a complete MMA fighter.
You could tell he knew how to fight, like boxing. Oh. Like he's leading with his front foot, pushing off his back foot, like to get to him.
He knew what he was doing. He was either a wrestler or an MMA guy, and you could tell because both.
The second guy looks. I didn't see what the first guy looked like, but the second guy looks scary. He was like this bald-headed cholo,
right?
And he's like smoking,
right?
He like puffs a cigarette,
almost like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, takes off his shirt,
right? Like then, I'm going to take care of this guy, and in 10 seconds it's
boom,
done.
Gets kicked,
yeah,
and then he. And then he goes in again and he grabs him and slams him and the guy just
body slammed
him. Yeah, hits his head.
And he hits his head. He was out cold.
I was gonna say
who knows if that guy's even alive.
That martial arts video I was watching, they were talking about looking at your phone and this but then they go on the bright side, they go, when you're looking at your phone, your chin is tucked and so people can't do a headlock on you.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. If you're in a dangerous neighborhood, do look at your phone so they can't come up behind you and headlock
right.
you.
Take your trachea. But for women, I always say, you got to carry something. You got to have the pepper.
Here's another. I wouldn't say this is street smart, but just living life like I do. I want to pass along some information. When you're in a hotel room, if you don't want to be woken up, unplug the hotel phone.
Oh, every time I come to the hotel, I always do that.
If somebody wants to get a hold of you,
every
they know your
time.
Cell number. They'll call your cell.
I never let that phone because they'll call you and wake you up, man.
Is everything okay?
Right.
It's like, stop
it. I turn that off, man. That's the ringer goes off on that one. Definitely that's definitely not a streetwise thing. But
something like that. I like these kind of things. You know what I mean? Like street smart. Something. Because I was thinking like... when my son, when he goes out on his own, when he becomes an adult, like I've learned all these little things. Like I don't know if he's.
But you're also taking care of. He's getting. He's getting his. He's taekwondo. He's taking.
Yeah,
taekwondo.
But I'm talking the little things, like not even defense and crime. I'm saying like, unplug your hotel phone. Mm-hmm. You don't need it. If they want to get a hold of you, they'll call your cell.
Yeah, but at least your son is currently right now as we speak in martial art classes.
Yeah.
And that's gonna change. That's gonna help him.
And his confidence too. Like with his even, you guys have heard him on the other. He was on a recent episode. Like, he's able to he'll talk in front of his class, and the teacher will have him talk again. And
because he sees his father talking in front of people. But no, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a phenomenal idea that you're teaching him how to defend himself, and not only that. the discipline that you get with martial arts, the mind control that you get with it. So I'm looking forward. I want to finally got my hip in shape. I've been having trouble, and one of the things about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is you better have decent hips, because that's one of the things that you're going to deal with. But so I'm looking forward to I want to get into it, man. I want to grapple. I always love that stuff. But I've only used it one time my entire life, and that was it. That the bridge story, that was it, one time. And I hope it's never. I don't ever want to have to use any of that stuff or get involved. I'm not into confrontation, man.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to live a peaceful life. But
okay, another tip for people. Another street smart tip. I keep saying street smart, but I'm just saying life experience. If you're ever flying on Southwest Airlines and you land in Burbank, California, the plane, you exit from the front and the rear.
That's correct.
Some people don't know that. So if you're in Vegas and you're going to like get on the plane, just go straight to the back of the plane, boom, and then you're going to exit. It's going to be great. When it lands, you're like, oh, I'm already, you know, you're in the back of the plane, you're good to go. Another thing I like to do on the airplane, close those shades because it keeps the plane like a lot cooler.
All right. Yeah. Hold that thought real quick.
I'm not saying to do this, but I have heard, you know, when they say move your chair, like everybody on the airplane, move your, you know, do not recline your seat. Now I've heard, I'm not saying to do this, but I've heard people, they'll get on the plane and they'll move all three seats back.
Oh, so that it looks.
So it's all even. When the flight attendant's walking by, that's the way that you'll get busted is you're the one seat that's pushed back.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, sir, can you move your seat forward? Right. But if all three are reclined.
Right.
Yeah.
The theory with that was always.
When can they let us recline the 2 inches? Come on.
You know what they believe? They believe theoretically that if everybody's weight is backwards, the entire weight of the passengers, I was going to say cast and crew, like I'm on a set. The entire weight of the passengers theoretically brings the weight back, and it makes the plane tougher to get the lift. That was the whole theory behind that. That's the whole theory behind that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That 100, you know, a few, you know, you're talking probably 10,000 pounds.
I have been on smaller planes,
they don't even recline.
Yeah, that, and also they do the weights and balance. They'll be like five or six of us. And they're like, okay, we need somebody to sit on the left side of the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had that happen before?
Of course, absolutely. But I once asked somebody about that. And the theory is that when a plane takes off and it goes up and then it goes into that 45-degree lift, if the are back.
All the seats.
Theoretically, not good for the tip of the, for the nose of the plane.
Wow.
Because you're talking figure, you got 200, let's say 150 people on a Southwest plane.
Okay.
Okay. Average human being is going to be 160 pounds. Okay.
Not on Southwest.
Yeah. Right. Right. So multiply 160 by 150, man, you're talking, that's got to be 15,000 pounds. Okay. You know, backwards, going in an angle that the plane wants to go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
The plane is trying to get up this way, and you're bringing the plane into this angle. So that's the main reason. Because I did ask this a long time ago, and I forgot, some engineer explained it to me that was the reason. But, that was it, man. Other than that, so you just learned something, folks. So when you're about to get mugged now, and somebody says to you, all right, your money or your life, and you go, I'm thinking.
I've had a very depressing life lately.
That was Jack Benny. You know, Benny's famous joke is,
I'm thinking.
A mugger comes up to me and says, your money or your life? You know, what is it? I'm thinking.
Oh, they say to take your wallet and like throw it.
You're supposed to throw it away on the ground.
Yeah, on the ground, away.
And tell the guy, this is if a guy doesn't have a gun or a knife.
Yeah.
And say, I'm not looking at you. I'm throwing it on the ground. Okay? And that's if you decide you want to give up your wallet, you know. But you're not supposed to make eye contact, because that's when they feel they might have to shoot you or stab you or whatever. But most people inherently, most human beings, psychopaths and all, they don't really, really want to kill you. They want your money. Okay, you know, the people who are trying to rob you really aren't looking to kill you. They don't want to go away for 50 years. Okay, they want to do seven.
There was an urban legend back in the day that people would hide underneath your vehicle, and when you'd come to your car late at night, they would like slash your ankles. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt anything, but then they better get out of that fucking car, man. Yeah. Out of that because yeah. you're gonna be in the driver's seat very soon.
Yes, exactly. You know? Run them over. No.
So
I know, because I remember back in the day, like in the early 90s when that was going around, so people were like dropping, looking underneath the car. Is there anybody hiding under there?
And that's another thing, the car. Ladies and guys, look in the back seat of your car before you get in. I do. I look in the back seat, make sure somebody's not lying down in the fucking in
can
the.
Can you imagine ever driven and then like you kind of reach your hand back there to see if anyone's back there? Okay, what if you did and there really was someone back there? Holy
that's what I'm
shit.
Saying. Yeah. You know, we only think that happens on TV shows where the guy goes, "All right, keep driving, blah, blah." But you never know, man. I always look in the back. Matter of fact, I spend so much time putting groceries and everything in the back seat of my car that, you know, there is no, I know there's nobody in there. But most people are living a very la-di-da-di-da, you know, life. They open up the car and they get into the car and they start the ignition and, you know.
Here's a tip for people. What I like to do when I back up the car, I turn the hazard lights on to kind of make myself more visible, especially if somebody's like you said, looking at they're not really paying attention. So they see the hazard lights. And then sometimes I'll gently tap the horn like doo 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 just like that, not laying on the horn, just kind of a beep beep. So it kind of gets people they visually and then auditory they'll hear it. That, and I know there's people that have like reverse cameras in their car, but I'm making myself aware to other people.
And I will say one thing: this was taught to me by a massive martial arts guy with a Navy SEAL background and a tactical killer. He was a really bad guy in a good way, a badass. And he was a patient of mine. For those of you that don't know, I'm a chiropractor. I see a lot of patients and blah blah. And this guy Richie was a very very dangerous human being. JKD, Jeet Kune Do, black belt under Danny Anasanto, and who was Bruce Lee's disciple. Plus, he was a Navy SEAL in Vietnam and wherever. But he was very, very dangerous, professional killer kind of thing. And he taught me that if you are planning on striking in any way, shape, or form, if you are going to take a shot, you know, for your life on the line, and you don't want to give up your wallet so quickly, even though you should, even though Richie's not the kind of guy that's going to give up his wallet so quickly, that you better talk, use your mouth and raise your hands a little bit, like, you know, ooh, I, you know, please, my children, I have two kids. Always talk, because what's happening is when you talk, the brain of the person that's doing the robbing or the mugging or the attempted murdering is has to process what you're saying. Still has to process it, regardless if you don't think he's still hearing noise in his brain. And he has to process. And that will give you the extra 2/10 or 3/10 of a second to distract him. And then he showed me in the street, we did this, where I would put a gun to his head, fake gun, but it was a plastic gun to his head. And, I'd give me your money, blah, blah, blah. And he would be like, hey, I have everything in the, and as soon as he starts talking, the next thing you know, the gun was in his hand. Okay. Because I had to process something, and it's physiologically impossible. I've done this many, many times. It's physiologically impossible. If you put a gun or a knife to my head or something, you really cannot react quick enough. The brain to the spinal cord cannot tell the finger to pop the trigger or jab the knife fast enough. You can't overcome the speed of my hand trying to take away your gun. It's too fast for you. So by you go, please don't kill me, don't hurt me, please, I have children in the car, blah blah blah, and he's processing this, the brain is processing this, and that's when you strike. And it's physiologically impossible the speed at which you're going to take that gun away. And I did it like, I was like 12 for 12. Every time this guy who was a killer, trained killer, he couldn't defy my taking away the gun from his hand when I started screaming, and not screaming, but saying, please, sir, don't. I have children in the car. I'll give you anything you want. And then I went to strike, and I was always able to take the gun away.
And even though he knew you were going to talk.
And he knew. The brain just can't. It just does. It's because remember, it's there's a brain, spinal cord, and then there's a reflex that tells the finger to put to pop the gun, the trigger. So it's too much time, and the speed at which I will, when we get up, I'll show you later. You'll put something to my hand, to my head, and you won't be able to get it off in time. It's too fast. It's way too fast. As long as I'm distracting you, I get about an extra 2 to 3 tenths of a second for me to play. I have about an extra 2 to 3. Without the distraction, it becomes a close game. But with the distraction, the perpetrator loses about 2 to 3 tenths of a second.
Say that one part again for the Insta story. I'm gonna film it. You got 15 seconds. 15 seconds. And go.
And this was taught to me by a trained killer. This is what this person was trained to do, that if someone has a gun to your head or something like that, if you distract them, you pick up about an extra 2 to 3 tenths of a second to make your strike.
Nice.
If you don't talk and you panic and you just keep shut down,
I remember at the boxing
striking
gym,
is going
to
be tough.
This boxing gym I used to go to, there was a guy that would do like a combat type of like defense.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, one of
well, that's what this guy did. He taught me how to kill somebody with a pencil.
Oh my God. One of his,
yeah, he was really,
one of this guy's phrases was called armor up. Everybody, and it sounds kind of silly, but it was kind of, but I could see it working. It was like, you want to armor up. You want to armor, you want to make yourself like a shield. Almost.
Correct.
And he was saying basically like, go down the middle. If you have to, like, you know, that's where everyone's soft spots
that's
are.
That's where the spots
the
are.
The eyes, the throat,
eyes,
the
nose,
groin.
Throat.
Yeah. Yes.
And ears. Don't kid yourself. Ears.
And he was saying your ears. And then he was saying like, your first line of defense is your voice. So like,
well, that's what I said. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You will gain 2 to 3 tenths of a second because sense.
I would hear him working with like the female people, like the female, you know, the women in the,
right.
The women.
He's trying to teach.
He'd have them yell like, no,
right,
back off,
right,
because that draws attention, and it's like, whoa, right. Like, whoa, you know what I mean? That kind of shit,
right.
It was kind of cool, like,
yeah,
I guess this, there's a place, the Santa Monica Stairs or something, and this lady, there was about 8 people in the class, and he goes, and Linda actually got to practice one of the defensive moves last week or whatever, and then she's like, yeah, there's this creep hanging around. Like the bottom of the stairs,
mm-hmm.
and he kept oogling girls and trying to grab them. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, and then he like overstepped the boundaries. And I said, back off, no. And she said it got everyone's attention. And then he lunged towards me, and then she did like the some kind of move with the open fist, or whatever.
Yes.
And then the guy is like, what the fuck? You gave me a bloody nose. But part of me was thinking, was she overambitious? Like, just I can't wait to try out my new skills.
Right, still,
I mean. She said that it worked when she's like, back off, no.
Hey, you know? This stuff works, man, you know.
Because they say don't yell rape if you yell fire, right? That's what gets people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you saw a lady or somebody yelling like help. Right. Some people are kind of curious, but they just want to like, I don't know, is that just a girl? Is it just a girl and a guy like fighting with each other? Like, what?
Right.
But if you yell like fire, there's a fire. Right. Then people are more wanting to be the hero and jump
right,
in.
Right. It's crazy stuff, but you know, I was lucky enough to be able to work with this guy who was just and I knew his friend, and I said to his friend once, and I said, Mike, how dangerous is this guy? He goes, I've seen him take 3 out in a bar at a time. And I said, seriously, he's that bad? He said, and the guy Richie was, no joke, he was about 5'9", okay. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, he's a bad dude. But he used to love working with me A, he liked coming in and getting adjusted by me. And B, he used to say to me, Doc, I love training you in this stuff because you have so much knowledge about the neurological strike points. Because I do. I studied all that in school. You know, they teach us these points that are neurological points. You know, they're not teaching us to kill, but you're learning points. And then they're giving you the caveat. They're explaining what this will do if this area gets trapped neurologically. Okay, so you learn a couple of things, and he loved the fact that I was able to go, oh, you mean if I hit here, I'm going to cause the person respiratory break? And he goes, that's correct.
Give us a little tip before we let you go.
Go ahead.
A little street smart tip with the neurological point. What's a good point?
Oh, man, I mean,
can you think of one right now?
Hey, look, at the end of the day, man, if you can...
What's a neurological point? You said, like,
well,
if you do this or that.
Obviously... Just what you said before about, you know, nose, eyes, ears, trachea. You can hit somebody in the throat.
Now, this is only, folks, if you're
your life is on, if you feel your life is being threatened.
Don't be like Alec Baldwin and fighting over a parking spot.
Yeah. Like, yeah, is that what he did recently?
Yeah, it was in the news today. Yeah.
Oh, he got into a fight?
I think he got arrested and punched somebody in the face.
Are you serious? Really? Yeah. I got to read about this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny because...
Alec has a temper.
Yeah, people that like him and don't like him all agreed with one thing. Like, you don't take someone's parking spot. Like,
I met him a few times.
I don't know the whole details, but apparently somebody... I think he... from what I saw, I could be wrong. Don't take it from me, folks.
He has a temper. He always did.
Real quick, though, I was going to say with parking, he apparently moved... You know when you move your car up and then you go to back up?
Right.
I guess when he was... Somebody just shot in there real quick and stole the spot from him.
Okay.
So that's enough to piss
off. He's known to have a temper. Yeah. I've met him two or three times back in... he used to hang out at the same club I did in Manhattan. But this is when he did Marry to the Mob. If you want the truth, I actually peed next to him in downstairs in the club. And a long time ago, we were on the... next to each other in the urinal. But... That's true, man.
That's how I got to introduce you the next time to the stage. Know him from
you might know him as the guy who peed next to Alec Baldwin in the urinal at Columbus Cafe.
You have a lot of these near misses. He ran into Jay Leno at Whole Foods.
Yes,
he's been to the Coffee Bean with Eddie Murphy.
He's peed next to Alec Baldwin at Columbus Cafe. But look at the
any
end of
celebrity
the day,
run-ins lately.
Celebrity run-ins.
You're always running into somebody.
That's true.
You were at the dentist office recently with somebody.
Yes, that was a lot of fun, man.
Who was that guy?
I was having an implant done on my tooth, and you know who really kept me calm was Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta told me how great the dentist was, and how many times he's been there, and how many implants he's had done with them, and that you're going to have nothing to worry about. And sure enough, he was right, and he calmed me down. And we spoke about all the same people we knew in Manhattan in the '80s. And late 80s, and he was great, man. Props to Ray Liotta, wherever you are. I tried to hit you up on Instagram to thank you, and I never got anything back. But, you know, whatever. Good guy. Super, super cool guy. But he asked about where strike points. And, you know, we're probably going to get some feedback on this from viewers. But, at the end of the day, man, they've done studies on this. There used to be a show called Sports Science.
I've seen the clips on YouTube,
and they did a whole thing on martial arts kicks and throws and elbows and this and fist and this and who's got the highest pounds per square inch and blah blah blah. And at the end of the day, they really said that you want to finish a fight and call it a day. Balls, hit the balls, hit them in the balls. It ends every fight. It ends every friggin' fight. Nobody can defend against it.
Unless it's a woman you're fighting.
Let me tell you, man. They claim that hurts too. They claim that hurts too. Well, of course, your pubic on a female, it's the pubic bone. The pubic bone is the thing that's exposed, you know, to them. And that you get hit somebody in the pubic bone, man. That's serious, you know, reverberation of nerves. But no, at the end of the day...
Another street smart thing. Do people still do this? Like, they say ATM and don't go to the ATM at night.
I go late at night, but I go to the one that locks me in. I go to the one that locks me into
and you're lifting your dumbbell weights.
And I have my weights on me. Like, no, but I go to the one that locks me into the thing. I have to get the coat, you know, the swipe.
Say try not to get gas at night, right?
I get gas late at night because, and you know why? I feel comfortable that the guy is on that, is in the booth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen, I'll get gas at night if it's a familiar gas station in a nice neighborhood.
Absolutely.
I'm not. That's what I'm saying is don't wait till your gas is on E and you're driving and you're on, you know, there's a detour, especially in LA, and you're like, I don't know where a gas station is.
The scariest place I've ever gotten gas in my life, I was driving from New York to Florida for my father's 70th birthday. I wanted to surprise them, and I don't know why I did this. I drove, and I ran out of gas in Jacksonville, Florida. And I remember seeing all the people at the Jacksonville gas station. Everybody was barefoot.
Oh.
Everybody was barefoot.
I've seen that before.
Okay, it was, I don't know, I was like, where the hell am I, man? And I was in a bad area, and, you know, and I got my gas, and I was not thrilled about having to get out of the car. But I did, and I, you know, I was like, all right, you know, the guy's in, there's a guy in the booth, so, you know, does he really want to see somebody get hurt, blah, blah, blah. And, but there was one, I was in the backwoods, man. I was in the back, I was in a place I shouldn't have been. You know, but that was it. But other than that, what women always have learned in most of their classes is testicles. You got to get to the balls. You got to get to. I know it sounds funny and it's laughable and everything, but it really ends a fight so quickly, man. Because your stomach is killing you after you get hit there, and you just can't stand up. So. That's it. Hey, look, I got kicked in the balls in third grade by Robert Neal. I asked him to see his report card. And he goes, no, I don't want to show it to you. And I was like, oh, Robert, come on. Show me your report card. What'd you get, Fs? And blah, 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 and this and that. And, yo, man, I don't want to show it to you, man. I said, you must have got Fs. And I went to open up his report card, and he kicked me right in the balls, man. And my balls were literally, like Dodger blue.
Wow.
They were LA Dodger blue, and I had to go to the doctor and everything for that. I mean, they were two blue testicles, and
but you learned your lesson.
But I never asked for anybody to see anybody's report card ever again. Not even my sons. No, I'm kidding. I don't, Dad. I'll kick you in the balls. I don't want to show you my. I had a lot of fun. Do you have fun?
I did have fun. You know what's funny when you said that? I don't know. It took me back to an elementary school story.
Go ahead.
I remember I was in kindergarten, and I remember I was sitting on the toilet, and this kid stuck his face underneath the stall, and just as a reaction, I kicked him in the face.
Kicked him right in the face.
I go, hey, don't look! And I kicked him, bam. And then it was like, yeah, of course, you know. I mean, but what? That's how kids do. They do weird shit. Is that kid looking under the stall?
Right. I don't actually blame you for kicking him. I really don't. It's a reflexive thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about the ridiculous that, I would be like, I'm not putting my hands on this bathroom floor, and that's me.
But we're adults now.
Yeah. Right.
There's some weird bathroom etiquette. You know, I was in the, not to get gross, but I was in the restroom today at the airport, and what I didn't do was gross, but there was a guy next in one of the stalls.
And remind me to tell you something about airports, but go ahead.
Okay, and just real quick, you just heard him rush in there real quick, and I'm getting ready to leave, and you hear him rush in there real quick, close the stall, push the seat down, and then you hear everything just come out, like lots of noises.
Really? You heard the plops and everything?
You heard the plops and lots of like explosions. Right. And then what made me kind of laugh
a little bit.
That's
why I always lace it with toilet paper first.
Yeah, he didn't do any of this stuff. And then you just heard him go, this is kind of funny though. He was polite. He goes, sorry about that, guys. Which is weird.
He knew people talk to other people
in the stall. I just ignored him and got the heck out of there. But
let me tell you something that happened to me recently. And folks, this, you want to talk about street smarts?
Oh, I got another street smart things when it comes to bathrooms. You know how it has that electric eye, that little red blinking light?
Yes.
Bling, bling, bling. If you don't want that toilet flushing on you guys, take some of the toilet seat protector and wet it a little bit and then
put it on
and cover it. That way, and then remove it when you're done. That way the thing will just keep flushing on you. You don't want that.
I'm going to tell you something that just happened to me recently. I think this happened. That's right. It happened in April. I went to Florida to my mother's 80th birthday. So I flew L.A. to Florida, Lauderdale, and I went into a bathroom. I can't remember where. It might have been in Lauderdale. It might have been here. I can't remember, but it doesn't matter. And this is something that guys and girls, guys mostly, You're going to learn something on this story, I promise you. I walked into the bathroom at, I think, now you know something? LAX. It was LAX. I walked into the bathroom, and I am the only one in the bathroom, I think. And all of a sudden, the kid was about 11 years old, 10, 11 years old, comes out of the toilet area. He's across the aisle from me of toilets. And he comes out, and there is nobody in the room with us. And I had to pee really, really bad. And I'm sitting there, and this kid's talking to me, going,
You're at the urinal?
When I go to the bathroom, I like to hang up my bag that I have with me. So I don't go to a urinal.
When you say bag, you mean those two blue ones from that kid that kicked you?
No, scrotum.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I hang it up on the hook that's on the toilet,
right,
the
right.
one that for the handicapped and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this kid is talking to me. He's like 10 years old. There's something not right.
You didn't close the door behind you?
Oh, I closed. Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Oh, he's talking to you through
the
door.
He's talking. And I'm thinking to myself, I got to get out of here. I said, because I don't know what this kid, something's not right with this kid. He's, are you going? Where are you going, sir? Where? And I'm going.
Yeah,
something's not right. And I'm going. This, there is nobody in here. This kid can come out saying I did anything. And there's no cameras. There's no cameras in the toilet in there. I don't think they're legally entitled to have.
Right.
Okay. And I was really scared because I'm going, this kid isn't right. There's something not right with this guy. And I am bathroom with a boy. Okay, and he doesn't have a father with him or a guardian. There's nobody in there with him, and it scared the shit out of me. No pun intended, but it scared me. And I got very lucky. I peed, and I tried to be very nice to the kid as he was talking to me as I'm peeing. And I'm like, "Yes, I'm gonna go see my mom, and this and that, and blah blah blah, and this and that, and blah blah blah." And he's like asking me questions like, you know, will you take me? And I'm like, you know, it got that weird.
Oh, there's
and,
some a little.
Oh, there was no, there was something wrong
maybe
with the kid.
I wonder if his guardian was outside the.
Whatever. I wanted out. So, folks, always, you know, use your head, man. Don't go into a bathroom. You see a minor. Get a porter, or get a cop and say, look, there's a kid in there by himself. Yeah. And I don't know what he's going to claim. He could be a nut, whatever, or somebody could be putting him up to it. Okay, to
it reminds me, you know, Billy Graham. He wouldn't get on an elevator alone with the woman because the something.
Yeah, you got to be careful in this day and age. But I would take my chances with a woman on an elevator who's for instance, I had a 14-year-old girl in my office today. Okay. You bet your ass her mother was in the room with me.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'll tell you something that happened last week with that patient.
Street smart. See,
street
this
smart.
This is what we're talking about.
Street
like you want to have...
Street smarts. The woman had to put money in the meter because, thank God, sometimes when you come to my office, because of the success of my office, there might be a little bit of a wait. I'm not tooting myself on the back, but I do get sometimes a waiting line in my office. And she left her daughter in the room with me. And what do you think I did? Well, she went to put money in the meter. And I purposely took that kid out into the lobby and started talking to the hypnotherapist that we had. You know, just, Lisa.
That sounds creepy.
I know, but it just, she happens to be a hypnotherapist.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. We were going to hypnotize her. And no.
Oh, it's a female hypnotherapist.
She's a female. Oh, absolutely. And
has she ever hypnotized you?
No, she asked me, do you want to be hypnotized? I said, yeah. You know, I would come see you if I want. She has a lot of patients. She's busy. What I was going to say is her name is Lisa Dewey, if you guys need a hypnotist. And she's great. She's in North Hollywood, Dewey. And that was very scary because I started to wonder, is this woman setting me up? It was her first time coming to the office. She drove from West Covina to see me. And then she goes, "Oh, I have to go put money in the meter because we waited a while to see you, blah, 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 blah." And I went, leave me in the room here. I've never met you with your 14-year-old daughter. And what do you think I did? I said, no way, baby. I said, we're going out. I said to the daughter, I can't remember her name. I'm not going to say it anyway. And I said, come on out. We'll go meet your mom at the front door, you know. But in that interim period, the hypnotist stepped out of her office. And I said, "Oh, Lisa, meet so-and-so here." And so-and-so, this is Lisa. She's our hypnotist. And what I'm bringing out is, folks, you've got to have your wits about you.
Yeah.
You have to have your wits about you. And that's it. Like, the girl I'm seeing right now is taking a trip next week. Ironically, Darren, she was going to call you. She was going to reach out to you. She's going to Solvang.
Oh, really?
And you were just there. You were just there doing a gig. You just did a college there.
No, for that one we didn't do a college. Didn't do a college. What did I do? I did a college in Oxnard.
Solvang was another gig.
Another show.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's going there for the weekend. And I said to her, I said, "Listen,
it's a cute little town."
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
And I said, "Listen, don't get this false sense of security that you're in a cute little town, and that when you wake up and your girlfriend's asleep, and she's going with the girls, and your girlfriends decide that they want to sleep late because they've had a few drinks and blah blah blah. Don't go into the woods or anything like that, hiking by yourself or anything because the girls were sleeping." I said, "Use your head. This is a sick world, and people are sick. There's a lot of sickies out there." So it's interesting. But that's what I'm trying to say. You got to have your wits about you. And I will say one thing. People have a false sense of security. I see girls coming into Runyon Canyon when I'm leaving at 9 o'clock at night sometimes, and it is pitch black, and they're first coming in, and I just don't get it how you could run into that canyon. They're jogging in that canyon, and it's pitch black, and you have headphones on, and you're running, and I'm doing everything in my power to get out of there when it's pitch black, okay? And I got weights in my hands in Runyon Canyon, okay? So folks, just have your wits about you. That's all I'm saying. Peace, love, and all that good stuff. And
thanks again for making another wonderful kick-ass appearance on the Pocket Party Podcast.
I can't believe we did an hour and 5 minutes.
I know. I was just thinking you'd come in here and tell us.
We literally said before we'll do 8-9 minutes.
And then we'll grab
some food. It's amazing. And then we'll get some food.
Dude, you got to start your own podcast.
I'm going to start my own podcast.
Would you guys want him to do that? Would you want
Please,
Dr.
give
Dean?
Me some feedback. We're thinking about relaxing at Runyon. Relaxing at Runyon is the podcast. That's one. And then I was thinking bedtime stories with Dr. Dean.
I like that one.
Everybody likes bedtime stories
with Dr. Dean.
People seem to
or
say.
What was the other one about the word? Had the word.
Penis? No, I'm kidding.
No, had the word. I'm going to whisper it to you.
Oh, on the couch with Dr. Dean. On the couch with Dr.
I
Dean.
I like that.
That was another one. That
it's like welcome to the couch. Yeah. Or, yeah.
Yeah, on the couch. Because the old theory of when you went to Carson. The theory was
right. If you did really, really right. heavy on the couch,
you were, that, if you did well, Johnny brought you over to the couch.
Yeah, and also kind of has like a therapy type of vibe on the couch with Dr. Dean.
So please, put some input if you feel like I should be doing own show. And of course, I'll have Darren as a guest every once in a while. But we're definitely thinking about doing it in the beginning of 2019.
Yeah, dude, you get a couple topics, and when you riff on it, you got the gift of gab. You got a million stories.
I do have,
you have
a lot
million run-ins with celebrities.
I do have a lot of stories.
You know a lot of people.
It's true.
You got a lot
do.
Of you have
I
some
do.
People on the show.
I Anyways, thank God for
guys,
living in the streets.
Thank you guys for listening once again. We hope we made your day. We hope we entertained just a small part of your night or your day. And we thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Wow, we did it.
Party Podcast. It's my favorite podcast. The Party Party Podcast.
Thank you guys again. Thank you again for tuning in, for having a great conversation with us and listening. I know sometimes as you're listening, you're talking back to the radio or the headphones. I know I do. I'm like, but that. Here's another idea. Da 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 da. So thanks again. Now remember, have a great week. Tell your friends all about the podcast. Give it a quick review and a rating. Share that link and hope to see you at a show soon. I really do. I love stand-up comedy and I love coming up with ideas and spreading the word and making people happy. There's nothing better than coming up with an idea, sharing it, having that bond with humans, with other people that are like, I know exactly what you feel like, man. I'm the same way, baby. I'm right there with you. And then afterwards, meeting and greeting and shaking hands and hearing stories and spending time with people and having that common thing of like, yes, we laugh together. So I hope to see you at a show. As my boxing coach tells me, as everyone's leaving, all right now, don't hurt nobody. Okay, don't hurt nobody. All right. And then when I leave, be careful. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week. Don't hurt nobody. And be careful. Darren Carter, party starter.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.